Hello, CHOI listeners. You are tuned in to African Perspectives, your source of news and analysis from the African continent. And in the background is the new theme song for African Perspectives. It's called Habari Ndio Hiyo by Mwana FA featuring AY from Tanzania. I'm your host this week, Omesama Rahmatullah. We always invite your comments and suggestions for African Perspectives. You can reach us at africanperspectives@chry.fm. And you can also listen to archived African Perspectives shows on our blog, which is afri-perspectives.blogspot.com. That's afri-perspectives.blogspot.com. And on today's show, we will be focusing on two new books that have been published from Tanzania. Both the books explore a progressive time in Tanzanian history. The first book is a collection of the works and words of Mwalimu Julius Nyerere, the first president of independent Tanzania, and the second book chronicles the short lifetime of Cheche Magazine, a radical student magazine from the University of Dar es Salaam. All this and headlines from the continent. Stay tuned. And here are your headlines from the African continent. The International Criminal Court prosecutor has named three Kenyan cabinet ministers and a former police chief among six suspects behind the East African country's post-election violence in 2008. The widely awaited announcement has the potential to destabilize Kenya's fragile coalition government, or unity government, which was formed by President Mwai Kibaki and Prime Minister Raila Odinga to end the bloodshed and restore stability. Prominent among the six suspects were Finance Minister and Deputy Prime Minister Uhuru Kenyatta, son of Kenya's founding father Jomo Kenyatta, and William Ruto, the higher education minister who has been suspended to fight a corruption case. Documents found in Lamu, Kenya, have exposed the understated role of Kenyan Asians in the struggle for independence and also sheds light on the real reasons behind the detention of Jomo Kenyatta and fellow freedom fighters. The documents indicate that the colonial administrators pushed a divide-and-rule strategy by promising Mau Mau detainees jobs within the prison service if they agreed to denounce the Mau Mau and the freedom movement. Like treasure that remained hidden for ages, these historical documents, dating back to the early 1950s, were locked up for decades until the facility was turned into a national monument and handed over to the National Museums of Kenya. And in the Ivory Coast, presidential claimant Assane Ouattara urged the United Nations to tighten its peacekeeping mandate on Monday to help quell a violent power struggle that has already claimed over 50 lives. Incumbent Lord Gbagbo has defied pressure to step down after a November 28th election that the outside world says he lost, and his supporters have vowed to fight to death after the UN and French troops rejected his demand to quit the country. UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Navi Pillay, cited on Sunday evidence of a massive violation in Ivory Coast, saying over 50 people have been killed in the previous 3 days and rising concerns over reports of deaths in detention. She also said hundreds had been abducted from their homes by armed men. Outside the UN headquarters, Ouattara supporters, who said they were attacked overnight, begged for medical care. Laurent Gbagbo had initially won the election on November 28th, but the results were contested by opposition Assane Ouattara. The Constitutional Court later dismissed the initial poll results and declared Ouattara victorious. Nigeria has dropped charges against former U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney over a 1990s bribery scandal, anti-corruption officials have said. The case focused on bribes paid by engineering firm KBR while it was subsidiary of Halliburton, a firm headed by Mr. Cheney at the time. According to earlier cases brought into the U.S., KBR executives paid more than $180 million to Nigerian officials between 1994 and 2004 to secure about a $6 billion contract for building a liquefied natural gas plant. Nigerian officials said Halliburton agreed to an out-of-court deal worth $250 million. The decision prompted much consternation in Nigeria, which just recently dropped a civil lawsuit as well against Pfizer Pharmaceutical Company in exchange for the payment of $75 million to the government. Plans for a university that will stretch across Africa and be a flagship institution of higher education will go ahead, despite political problems with two of its five planned centers. African Union Commissioner and Steward of the Project, Jean-Pierre Ezin, has insisted. The Pan-African University, which was proposed by the African Union in 2008, is expected to offer advanced graduate training and postgraduate research opportunities for the cream of the crop of African students, according to a draft concept note produced at the time. A Zimbabwe court has decided to acquit a lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights activist charged with possession of pornographic materials. Ellen Chademana, an administrative assistant at the prominent NGO Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe, was acquitted by a magistrate's court in Harare. The charges followed an armed police raid of the Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe offices in Milton Park, Harare, in May. Verifiable reports sent to Greenpeace indicate that more than 200,000 cubic liters of radioactive sludge from three cracked waste pools have been leaking into the environment at the Somare uranium mine in Niger since December 11th. The mine is operated by the French energy company Areva. Al-Mustafa Al-Hassan, who carried out an inspection of the spill for the NGO Agir Inman, confirmed to Greenpeace that 2 hectares have been contaminated by the spill since December 11th. This new leakage shows that the bad practices at the Areva uranium mines in Niger continue to threaten the health and safety of people and the environment. In contrast to Areva's statements claiming their operations comply with international health, safety, and environmental standards, this new information shows that Areva has not sufficiently acted to protect the Nigerian population. In May 2010, a Greenpeace report called Left in the Dust revealed dangerous contamination levels in the air, water, and soil around the Areva uranium mines in Niger. The report detailed how the people of the mining towns of Arlit and Akokan are surrounded by poisoned air, contaminated soil, and polluted water. Ghana and Qatar's announcement that they will jointly farm 50,000 hectares of land is the latest in a sweeping but controversial trend rolling across the African continent. Cash-rich countries are securing land in poor states, which they hope will provide them with food security. But critics warn that in the rush to secure food for themselves, investors and African governments risk annihilating large sectors of the population for whom land ownership is an ongoing struggle. Delegations from Morocco and the Frente Polisario have attended a fourth round of informal talks in New York on ending the conflict in Western Sahara at the invitation of the personal envoy to the United Nations Secretary General. The three-day meeting in Long Island, convened by the envoy Christopher Ross, was also attended by delegates from the neighboring states, Algeria and Mauritania. The proposals of the two parties were again presented, but by the end of the meeting, each party continued to reject the proposal, though the parties submitted to some concrete ideas, which will be developed over the coming two rounds of unofficial negotiations on January 21st and 22nd and in March of 2011. December 13, 2010, marked the 12th anniversary of the assassination of Burkinabe journalist Norbert Zongo, editor of the weekly L'Indépendant in Burkina Faso. He was assassinated in 1998 while investigating the murder of a driver working for Burkina Faso's President Blaise Compaoré. The killers who ambushed Zongo's car, riddled it with bullets and torched it, have never been brought to justice, and Zongo's family and supporters continue to seek justice. And that brings us to the end of the headlines. Headlines from the African continent are credited to the Kenyan Daily Nation, Pembezuka News, the Africa Science News Service, Magharibia, the Pan-African Newswire, and the Committee to Protect Journalists. We will now take a short community listings break and be back with our interviews focusing on new publications from Tanzania. Stay tuned. This is African Perspectives, CHRY 105.5 FM.
The ordinary people, not taking to take it slow. Banda na kushukaraka, not taking to let it grow.